Good morning, Toggleville Baptist. We're so glad that you are joining with us this morning on YouTube or via Facebook. It's so glad to see you. We pray that each and every one of y'all have had a blessed week. Lord's laid something special on my heart this morning that I'm going to share with something I've never shared before. And so I want you to definitely pay attention today to the words of the sermon. And our music, we had a little technical difficulties this morning. So what's going to happen is I'm going to open us up with a prayer. And then Mr. Trey Jones is going to come up and share a word with you. And then I'll be back to preach in just a few minutes. We're so glad that you're joining us this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just come before you right now, Father God, with humbled and open hearts, dear Lord, that we are your servants, God, that we are your hands and feet. And Lord, we just want to glorify you, Lord, in this time is what we want to do. Help us to focus directly on you, God, and to keep our minds just on you. This is our time, Lord, to come into your house, Father, and grow closer to you. Lord, everything we've seen with our eyes this week and heard with our ears and smelled with our noses, whatever we have come across, God, may we all, Lord, just turn it towards you right now in this next time, Father. I pray, Lord, that you be with us as a church. God, I'm so thankful, Lord, for the numbers that you have sent this morning. And, Father, I just pray, Lord, that it will continue to grow and grow, Father, as we continue to glorify you. Lord, we love you and we thank you. And all those that we mentioned on our prayer list earlier, please, Lord, we lift them up to you, Father God. Be with each and every one of them. These things we ask in your most precious and holy name. Amen. Brother Trey, come on up and share with them real quick.
All right. I'm going to have to quit wearing collared shirts if I'm going to wear this thing. I have no neck already. So anyway, good to be back. Thank you all for your prayers this past week. Family and I went down to have a family vacation on Dolphin Island, and we had a good time and had fellowship with my wife's grandmother. So my children have a great-grandmother, and they're very blessed to do that. We probably have some great-grandmothers here in our community as well, but you know how that feels. My wife's grandmother is the great-grandmother to, let's see, how many, 21, 22, 3, 4, 5, 25 or 26 great-grandkids in the family. So big family, had a good time. But last time I was here, I've been sharing a little bit from some of the experiences I've had talking to people on the road. And I'd been talking to a man about some different things, and another young man had been overhearing what we were saying about the Lord and talking about the Lord and how he saves us and those types of things. And anyway, this young man never approached us during our conversations. Well, a couple of weeks later, I went to do another job, and this same crew was there. And the older man who I'd have been talking to was gone. I'd never seen him again. But the young man was still there as part of the permanent member of the crew. And we were waiting for the crane to set up and those types of things. And so I was sitting in the cab of my truck with the door open, and I was listening to some Christian music and listening to some gospel music, different genres, whether it be Southern gospel or even some of the new praise worship that we have today. And I was listening to some of that, and he was walking back and forth doing what he needed to be doing. And in a few minutes, he came up to me and said, let me back up just a second. He walked by, and I heard him. He was listening to some Christian gospel music as well, some type of praise music. And I looked over, and I thought, So, because I was wondering if he was going to be upset with me for talking about the Lord in the workplace with the other man a couple weeks before. Or what, because he never approached me. So when I heard that, I thought, okay, that's interesting. Maybe he's a believer too. So he came by, and I heard him listening to his music. Then he came back through, and he asked me, he said, well, where do you go to church? And we were up way up in North Carolina. And I said, well, I go to a little small church in a little town called Otagaville, Otagaville Baptist Church. He said, Baptist Church? I said, yes, sir. He said, okay. He said, I go to all of them. I said, really? He said, well, you know, I'm a believer, and I travel with my job, so I don't know where to go, so I go to whatever church is closest, as long as it's a Christian church. He said, I've been to the Pentecostal church. I've been to the Baptist church. I've been to the non-denominational church. I've been to some of the black churches around. He said, I love them all. I love to worship the Lord. And I thought, well, how about that? I got a believer here with me. And so we talked a little bit, and then we, you know, during this time was right after the all the riots and all the things that just started in the different places, and we got to talking about what's wrong with this world, and we agreed that sin is what's wrong with the world, and then we started talking about that, and then he said, you know, these people, they just you know, got to get right. I said, well, they're not going to get right unless they have the Lord. I said, but it's incumbent upon us as believers to pray for this situation, because we are God's representatives here on earth. And which brings me to 2 Chronicles, and Brother Michael has read this passage, and I've quoted from it before, but I'm going to read just a second. This is right after, this is 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, beginning verse 12. This is right after Solomon finished the temple, right after he had literally just finished the temple and the Lord came to him. It says in verse 12, it says, then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. See, the Lord sends a lot of these things. He sends them. He sends the pestilence. He dries up the rain. He's in control, right? He says, when I send these things, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. So it's incumbent upon the church to make sure that we are living our lives for Christ out in front of the people at the workplace, in front of the people in our family who may not be believers, in front of those people at school that we go to school with who may not be believers, in our community, where we live, and who we are. Because, see, the temple had just been established, the temple, King Solomon's temple, and all its glory and all its radiance and all of its opulence that it had with the gold and all these things, it had been established. Well, guess what? The temple is gone. Where's the temple now? Where the Holy Spirit resides in us. We are the temple of God. And we need to show the radiance of God through us, just as opulent as that temple was. When people came and they saw how glorious it was, the glory of God needs to be shown through us. And I'm not saying that that's what I was doing, because all I was doing was watching a Christian video, right? That's all I was doing. He noticed it. And there was something about that other man that noticed the difference and asked me about the question about Christ being thrown under the bus and all that kind of stuff. It's not anything that I've done. It's what Christ has done in me and changed my life. And people talk about this New Age type stuff, talk about having an aura about you or whatever. Whatever, that's crazy talk. But we ought to have an air about us that we're open to talk to those about the Bible, about God, about the Lord, about the salvation that dwells inside of us. So that's what I have this morning. But we'll talk next time. Thank you.
And on that note too, our gospel tracks, some of them came in the first batch I ordered. If you would like to this morning, they're laid right up there. There's two piles. There's a total of 100. Please take what you would like. It does not matter. I'm going to get more of them, okay? That was just one that we had done to see how everybody would like it. So if you get a chance this morning when we're leaving, if you'd like to, we could come up here one at a time and you grab a couple of them and take them home and read them and see. But our name is printed on the back, our website, and down there with a message that says we would love to see you. And that's probably a lot of too what's prompted us in our reaching out for Christ as being the hands and feet. And believe it or not, Brother Trey, that has a lot of my message in it today, okay? Believe it or not. So today, this morning, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, and I want you to be honest with me. I want you to be honest with yourself, first off, because I'm going to be honest with you today, and I'm going to tell y'all something I've never told y'all before about myself. And it's something that really brought me back, that took me away. We all have moments in our lives where when I put a message title that says Focused, Waiting on Our Savior, the question for you to ask that I'm asking you today is, have you ever drifted away? Have you ever drifted away from Jesus? And sometimes it's a hard question for us to answer. But there was a moment in your walk. There was a moment in your time. There was something that happened that brought you back. And I've actually answered this question before, but I'm going to give you the real answer today. And after some praying, after some thinking, after sitting there pondering, Lord revealed it to me that this was what happened. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, let's open up at Revelations 22, verse 12. And look at what, of course, letters are in red right there, the epilogue, the invitation and the warning, Jesus. And, you know, John is the author of this book. He says, and I'm in 22:12. Everybody there? Good. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexual immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. 16 says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. Let's bow as we pray. Lord, your word today is more alive than it has ever been. Lord, in a world of uncertain right now, Lord, we see you as that bright and morning star because you are shining ever so brightly. Lord, we're each here to be the people you have called us to be, Lord. Help us to glorify you, Lord, as we wait focused on you. Lord, if we turn our attentions off of the everyday things that distract us, God, help us, Lord, just to turn to look towards you, to keep our minds. When a distraction comes in, Father, pray, Lord, that you just help us to turn that focus right back on you. Lord, be with us this next few minutes as we look at your word, Father, and as we study it and as we take it to heart. Lord, you are the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, Lord, and we know that. Lord, we know that one day this temporary life will be over for us, and we will be rejoicing with you in heaven. Father, we just love you and we thank you. These things I ask in your name. Amen. So a lot of people call it their aha moment, is what they do. Something that turns you, something that happened. Maybe you had drifted so far. Maybe you accepted Christ as a child and you knew Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, but maybe you got lazy along the way and tended to drift. We see a lot of people do that. I was one that did that myself. But I'm going to tell you what was my turning point. This all took place back in November of 1998. I'd already graduated high school. Tanya and I were freshly married. We were married in August 16th of 97. is when we were married. And we didn't even have kids back then. It's hard to believe. But we started off, it was just me and her. There were no children. A lot of people think we just got them along the way, and we did. But when we first started, it was just me and her. And my dad was real sick. And the last time he had gone in the hospital, we knew that his time was over. It could have been any day then, and we knew that God had him. And when we were in the hospital, and this is the part I've never shared with anybody, when we were in the hospital, I was 22 years old, Tanya, and I was not in church. I was not. Tanya and I, freshly married, I was working. I did not have a desire to be back in the Lord's presence at the time. I did it. That's how I felt. I just didn't go to church. And I did my own thing. And I thought, well, my day is my day, and I can do what I want finally. And I took a lot of that role. But you know what my dad did? He was laying in that hospital bed, and he wasn't doing good. And I knew it. And he looked at me, and he pointed at me. And there were several of us in the room, and I was sitting in the back. I was sitting down. And he said, Michael J., I said, yeah. He said, I want you to pray for me. And chills ran over my spine. I lit up just like I'm lighting up right now. He asked me to pray for him. And you know what? I didn't know what to say. I had been so distant from God that I wasn't sure how to pray for my dad. Have you ever wanted somebody so bad to stick around, but you knew they would be so much better off because they were hurting so bad? So when he pointed at me, I said, Dad, I don't feel comfortable doing it. He said, I need you to pray for me right now. So I bowed my head and I said, Lord, please forgive me for what I've done. Forgive me for being a sinner. I know you've got my dad right where you want him. And I was a young man, believe it or not. I mean, that was 22 years ago, you know what I mean? And I told him, I said, God's got you, Daddy, and we know his will's going to be done. After I'd finished, I said, amen. He looked at me and he said, you did a great job, boy. Now I need you to help me out too. I said, yeah, what's going on? He said, I want you to get back in church. I know you haven't been going, but God's going to be your answer. He's going to be the key. And it was words just like that. So Daddy passed away that November the 6th. Daddy passed away in 98, went home to be with the Lord. And when I pictured my dad walking through heaven's gates, I didn't picture him no more hurting. I didn't picture him limping. I didn't picture him with his back hurting. I pictured him running toward Jesus. That's what gave me comfort. Would you believe it or not that I've never shared that with anybody? When I got to truly thinking about what was the moment that turned my life, Lord reminded me what it was. What was the moment that turned you back? And maybe you've been that perfect Christian all along. And maybe you've never had that. Maybe you've been drawn to him the entire time. You never took a break. That's even more wonderful. That's even more of a testimony. We don't have to be mobsters or anything like that, or have slain people or whatever, to have a testimony for Jesus Christ. We just have to be willing to pay attention to the details that happen to our lives, because he's working in each of us. Focused, waiting on our Savior is exactly what we are. And you know, right after that, Tanya got pregnant with Emily in January. And we said, the Lord taketh away, but the Lord giveth. And I had told people before, Emily was my aha moment is when I got back to church. But truly, that night in that hospital was my moment when I got back into church. And I remember driving home that night. It was late. And I can remember me and Tanya talking on 65. And I said, you know what? I said, I don't know how much longer it's going to be, babe. But I said, I feel like it's close. And Tanya said, I do too. And we drove home and we got the phone call 2 hours later that he had gone to be with the Lord. And we said his time on earth was done. It's amazing how focused we need to be right now. Because the times in front of us are uncertain. They are. They're uncertain. This is a time where we need people in our house of worship. This is the time where people need to be getting right and to need to be taken. Maybe it's an afternoon walk you take or whatever the case may be. But make sure you do it. Don't let the time slip by. It's time to get real for Jesus. And today's that day. Today is that day. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Pastor Rick Warren had the best devotional this week that I read that I'm giving him credit today because I took some of his points. I changed the scriptures a little bit just because it was what I felt led to do. But I wanted to share with when I read that devotion that morning, it blew all over me. And I started thinking back, what changed my heart? And God laid that on me about Daddy. And I said, he's exactly right. That's exactly what changed my heart. He gave us 5 reasons. First off, we know he's on to say, everything we see with our eyes is temporary. Y'all all know that. It's what we can't see that will last forever. We need to focus on what is really real. And if you ask me the question, if you said, what is really real, Brother Michael? What is real? A personal relationship with Jesus Christ is real. As real as it gets right now. Our focus needs to be turned onto him. Daily, hourly, whatever it takes, we need to be. Theresa Bryant had the scripture title for last week. She had shared with me about 3 or 4 weeks ago and said, Here is a title that the Lord laid on my heart, patiently waiting on our Savior. And it just so hit, it hit perfect last week. But today, we're focused waiting on our Savior is what we need to be. 5 points that he left us with today. Let's take a look at these 5 together. And I've got some scripture, just jot them down, okay? I'm going to read, I'm not turning, we're staying right there in Revelation. Point number 1, God made you to love. Would you say amen to that? He did. God made us to love. And we do. Matthew 22:37 says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. That pretty much sums it up completely in how we're supposed to love. Love with everything you have. And we do that. We do everything for our children. We do everything we can for our parents who are aging. We as a church, in my opinion, are very compassionate. You know, we love to help others. If we know of the need, we want to help. His point number 2 says, you were made to last. Made to last. We were. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. The evangelist Billy Graham summed it up the best way. And he talked about death this way. He said, someday you'll read that Billy Graham is dead, or you may hear it that he has passed away. Billy Graham says, that is not the case at all. I am more alive than I've ever been. The only thing that has changed is my mailing address. More alive than ever. I couldn't help but think about Miss Judy this week when we had done her service here. And it was just a family due to the coronavirus. But I had thought, man, if this church would have been, if we were in normal times right now, there would have been a line stretched around both sides. We would have had to put up some sort of megaphone. All the people that she reached, all the people. Miss Judy's not here with us right now, but she is more alive than ever. More alive than ever. Oh, and that's, there again, I know that's hard for the family to get, but they know it deep down in their hearts because they're believers in Jesus Christ and what he does for us. Our time is, what we see is temporary here, but what we can't see is what is prepared for us, our eternal. And I know right now I've even got a bad knee that hurts me all the time. Tiny thinks I'm faking, but I'm not. It hurts. But when I enter through heaven gates, I'll be running. Trey Jones, I'll be doing that 4440. I'll be doing it. I'll be getting it. Those are the things we need to know. Another thing that struck out to me this week, too, that we were made to last. Saturday morning, when I was talking to Philip and Teresa Cromer, and they sit right back over here, y'all. I hope everybody knows who they are. I believe Brother Alvin and Teresa knows him from the food pantry and stuff and from church, but he sits right back over there. And we were talking on the phone Saturday morning, and I was just checking and said, hey, just hope you're all right. He said, we are. We just stove up. Teresa's back home with me. And I said, oh, that's great. And he says, we're fixing to go and to the truck and try to get a few more personal things out. I said, I completely understand. And I said, I really just wanted to check on you. I did not say a word. This is what the man said. This is what Mr. Phillips said. You know what? God's not done with us yet. I said, really? He said, God's not done with us yet. He has something for me and Teresa to do. If not, I should have went home to see him last night. He's not done with us yet. I said, amen. He said, the way it hit, Michael, he said, two more foot and it would have had us. Two more foot and it would have had us. God's not done with us yet. You can say that same thing to yourself today. God is not done with you yet. If you're sitting in this pew right now today, if you're looking forth, you're looking, listening to me, God's not done with you yet. Keep that right there at the forefront. Look at what he says in point three right there. We said point two, we were made to last. Point three, ladies and gentlemen, there is a heaven and there is a hell. These are real places. They're not made up. Trey said something about an aura earlier. Yeah, this is real stuff. There is a heaven and there is a hell. From heaven, the Lord looks down. Psalms 33, 13 through 15 says, from heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. Alpha, Omega, beginning and the end. We've already told you, you can't fathom what God can do, but we just read in Scripture, in the Holy Bible, our handbook to life, that God forms our hearts. What's he forming you for today? There's so many questions you could continually ask to really seek out. Trey's rest of the story, what is the rest of your story? What is it going to be? Because heaven and hell are two real places. Not imaginary. This is going to happen. This is all coming from Pastor Rick Warren this week. So when I'm reading this, I'm all beside myself. I'm just like, oh man, look at this. It's coming alive. And I was like, oh my goodness. And this isn't a lot, some of the scriptures he used, but it's some of the ones I felt led to use because it was what God had laid on my heart, because it started when I read the first sentence when it said, focused on our Savior. Am I truly focused on what God's doing in my life? That's where right now is the time. And you go, we're not even meeting for Sunday school. We're not even fully fledged right now. It does not matter. Focus on what God has in your life. I can't preach that enough. Be the example. We got some pamphlets. Hand them out to people you meet. Show them. Share the love of God with them. Preach a sermon every day, but only if you have to use words. We've said that so many times. That's true. That is true. Trey said he shared a sermon by just listening to a music. I didn't physically do anything. I was just there doing what I was supposed to do. Man, I promise I don't mean to scream at y'all, but I just get excited, and I'm not hollering. I'm not mad at anybody. I promise I'm not. Point number four today says, you get to choose where you spend eternity. You won't accidentally find yourself there. If you choose Jesus, that means you have accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior, and you will be in heaven with him. All you have to do is accept. The choice is definitely yours. Now, the fifth point, we don't get second chances to make those choices. We never know when our time is up on this wonderful earth. We don't. And there's a lot of blessings here that we see through other people, through grandkids. And, you know, you definitely would like to say, Jesus, come back today. We'd all be back. But if something happened to me right now, I'd hate to not see my first grandchild or whatever the case. Anna graduate college, Emily graduate college. There's so many things. But we're not guaranteed tomorrow. What if this is the last time you're in church today? What if it's the last time you hear the word? All those things were jumping out at me. Look at what he says right there in Revelations 22:17. Look right there. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of this prophecy of the scroll, if anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in the scroll. And if anyone takes words away from the scroll of prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in the scroll. He who testifies to those things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. There was one thing I could leave with you this morning. I would tell you that people need Jesus. We need Jesus. God's shown so much grace and blessings to me. If I never received another one from here on out, I would be a wealthy, wealthy man. And Tanya knows that. We have talked about all the blessings and the times that he has helped us and pulled us through. We didn't say thank you to me and Tanya for doing it. We said thank you, Jesus, for doing it, because he was the one who helped us. wasn't nothing on ours. All we were there was standing there saying, oh, praise Jesus, that worked out. Thank you, Lord. Five things Pastor Rick Warren left with us today, this week, that I had to share with you today, that we all need Jesus. It could be the last time. When we look at 17 through 21 right there, it is an invitation by the Holy Spirit for the lost people. That's what it is. He's telling them, come. And let the one who hears say, come. He's telling you to come now. Come to him. It is the time to come. The time is now. Don't let this be the last day you hear the word of God without being right with Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, Lord, I put it all out on the table for you today. And Lord, you put everything out on the table for us, Lord, when you went to Calvary. Father, be with us, Lord. We want to fix our eyes on you, Lord, and help us to keep them right there, Lord. We're going to focus on waiting on our Savior, Lord. We're going to do it patiently. We're going to focus just waiting on you, Lord. Help us to always keep our attention, Father, pointed up towards you. Lord, be with everyone I mentioned on our prayer list. Father God, be with each and every one of the situations out of each and every one of the people. Father, you know all their needs. You know their desires, what they need right now. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you lay it on them. Father, be with us as a church. As we move forward for you, as we make you smile, help us to be your hands and feet. Father, we love you and we thank you. And these things I ask in your most precious and holy name. Amen. Leslie, do you have? Oh, got one? Awesome. Leslie's going to come up and lead us in our hymn of invitation. I'd ask that you stand, please. And Leslie's going to lead.
We'll sing hymn 436, Where He Leads Me. I'm trying to know.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling, take thy cross and follow me. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him.